Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, June the 18th, a Mexican bishop decries the murder of a catechist as the church in the country comes under further attack. The Cardinal Prefect for the Congregation for Oriental Churches visits the USA, showing the Pope's pastoral concern for Eastern Catholics. And we shine the spotlight on the first ever presence and precious contribution of women at the Second Vatican Council. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. In Nigeria, at least 30 people were killed in a triple suicide attack in the northeastern state of Borno. State emergency officials said that on Monday, the attack took place and was the biggest mass killing this year by Islamist militants. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the bombings, which prompted the president to call for security to be stepped up in areas where large groups gather. The Boko Haram group and its Islamic State splinter group have often carried out attacks targeting civilians and the military in Borno State. The former Egyptian president Mohamed Morsi has been buried in a private ceremony after he collapsed in court and died yesterday. Nathan Morley reports.
The former Egyptian president, who was 67 years old, was buried just a day after he collapsed during a court session where he was appearing on spying charges. His funeral took place in eastern Cairo with his family and some friends present. However, it emerged late on Tuesday that his relatives had been denied their request for a public funeral. The Egyptian media mostly ignored the death of Mr. Morsi, who had been in custody since his removal from office 7 years ago. However, the government-run television network, in a brief report, described the cause of his death as being a heart attack. Some human rights groups were unhappy with the conditions of his detention and have demanded an impartial investigation into his death. Over the last few years, there have been countless complaints from his family about his solitary confinement and the denial of visits by family, friends and lawyers. He was born in 1951 in a small village in Egypt and studied engineering at Cairo University before moving to the United States in the 1970s to complete a PhD. He was chosen as the Muslim Brotherhood's presidential candidate for the 2012 election after the movement's preferred choice was forced to pull out. During his turbulent year in office, Mr. Morsi was accused of mounting an Islamist coup and mishandling the economy. Public opposition to his government grew, and millions of anti-government protesters took to the streets of Egypt to mark the first anniversary of the day he took office. That was in June 2013. 3 days later, the army suspended the constitution, and Mr. Morsi was arrested. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In China, rescue efforts are underway after an earthquake in the southwest of the nation left at least 12 people dead and 135 others injured. Authorities said hundreds of firefighters arrived early today and rescued at least 8 trapped people. They said more than 4,400 people have been evacuated after 73 houses collapsed. In Mexico, a catechism teacher has been gunned down in a Catholic church in the south of the nation. The local bishop is lamenting her death as a result of social and moral decay, as Devon Watkins reports.
Two young gunmen entered the Church of the Immaculate Conception just as a formation course for new catechists was wrapping up. They began shooting at random, and one bullet struck Margeli Lang Antonio. She died on the spot. The attack took place on Saturday in a town in Mexico's southern Chiapas state. Bishop Jaime Calderon, the local bishop of Tapachula, expressed his closeness to the woman's family and called on authorities to investigate the incident. He told Fides News Agency that the violence that resulted in her death demonstrates social and moral degradation. At a press conference on Sunday, Bishop Calderon blamed the incident on a lack of integral health of local communities. When there is no work, rampant injustice, impunity, and excessive greed, he said, the result is that anything can be bought and the rich command. Separately, two Catholic students were killed in similarly violent circumstances over the past couple of weeks. Both were kidnapped, tortured, and strangled to death. Mexico's bishops have openly called on the government to get to the root of the security crisis that is gripping the country. According to the Catholic Multimedia Center, violence against the church in Mexico is carried out with the aim of destabilizing the fabric of society. The center's director, Paulist Father Omar Aguilar, says that the Catholic Church stands up for people's rights, a stance that puts it in direct opposition with organized crime. Father Aguilar says that killing a priest or terrorizing a church destabilizes the community and creates a culture of silence that allows corruption to flourish and drug cartels to operate with impunity. I'm Devin Watkins.
In Yemen, leaders of the Houthi movement and the United Nations have agreed on a mechanism to inspect ships docking at Hodeidah. This follows the group's withdrawal from three Red Sea ports under a UN-sponsored deal. As the population continues to be deprived of food and other basic needs, its ports, including Hodeidah, are crucial for the delivery of aid. Meanwhile, as the head of the UN World Food Programme, the WFP, warns, people, including children in many parts of Yemen controlled by Houthi rebels, are going hungry. David Beasley was briefing the UN Security Council on the continuing dire humanitarian situation in the country after more than 4 years of brutal fighting between the Houthis and the Saudi-led pro-government coalition.
In Yemen, we're fortunate enough to have the money we need. We just don't have the access. We don't make this decision lightly. I am begging the Houthis and all of those concerned to do all within your power to let us do what we do best, save lives.
In Hong Kong, pro-democracy lawmakers and activists rejected a new apology today by the city's governor over a highly unpopular extradition bill. They're demanding that Carrie Lam quit and that the legislation be scrapped completely. Some activists said if the government does not meet those and other demands by a 5 p.m. Thursday deadline, they plan a mass resistance movement. That would follow a peaceful march Sunday by some 2 million people who are worried that the legislation would further compromise what they see as the dwindling autonomy of the former British colony. And the United States said today it is sending 1,000 more troops to the Middle East as tensions in the Persian Gulf continue to mount. This comes after Iran announced it will not comply with the international agreement that keeps it from making nuclear weapons. Cardinal Leonardo Sandri, the prefect for the Congregation for the Oriental Churches, is in the United States this month, visiting some of the numerous eparchies and Eastern Catholic communities spread throughout the country. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The first stage of the prefect's visit began in the city of Chicago, home to both a Ukrainian Catholic eparchy and a Syro-Malabar diocese, in addition to the Latin Rite Archdiocese. On Friday, Cardinal Sandri met with members of the Ukrainian Eparchy of St. Nicholas of Chicago, including the Bishop, Venedikt Alexeychuk. He also visited the cathedral, as well as the parish of Saints Volodymyr and Olha. On Sunday, Cardinal Sandri presided at the Holy Kurbana, the Holy Sacrifice, the Eucharistic liturgy of the Syriac tradition, as part of his visit to the Syro-Malabar community. The St. Thomas Syro-Malabar Catholic Eparchy of Chicago covers the whole of the United States and is one of the three eparchies of the Syro-Malabar Church outside of India. The following day, Monday, Cardinal Sandri visited Mundelein Seminary, about 50 kilometers from downtown Chicago, and the University of St. Mary of the Lake. Several Eastern Catholic churches send students to Mundelein to study for ministry. In the afternoon, the Cardinal visited with Syro-Malabar priests and religious who are in the midst of a spiritual retreat. After his time in Chicago, Cardinal Sandri will travel to Detroit, where he'll meet with bishops of the Chaldean Catholic Church in the United States and Canada. While in Detroit, the prefect will also visit one of the Maronite parishes in the area. The final leg of Cardinal Sandri's visit includes the Jubilee celebrations for the 50th anniversary of the creation of the Eparchy of Parma of the Ruthenians and the Metropolia of Pittsburgh of the Ruthenians. Cardinal Sandri will also visit the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat, where he will be welcomed by the local bishop and by the new Metropolitan of Philadelphia of the Ukrainians, Archbishop Boris Gudziak. During his time in Parma and Pittsburgh, the prefect will meet with all the Ruthenian bishops of the United States, as well as having the opportunity to visit with young people, clergy, and religious of the community. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, the Second Vatican Council, that's from 1962 to 1965, was to become a new Pentecost of the Catholic Church. The event also really shed new light on the contribution and role of women. At the invitation of Saint Pope Paul VI, 23 women took part in the council as auditors. But women believers also played a role in the larger context of the council. A recently published book delves into how it came about that women first appeared on the scene at the council and lists the many achievements they ended up obtaining. To find out more, Gudrun Saylor spoke to one of the authors of the book, church historian Regina Haider, and asked her how it came about that Pope St. Paul VI ended up appointing women as auditors for the second half of the council.
Pope Paul VI was the first pope to appoint lay auditors at a larger scale. In 1963, 30 male lay auditors took part in the council, and even before the beginning of the council, female Catholics had asked to be allowed to participate. Now they intensified their activities. They wrote letters to bishops and to the council secretariat. They suggested participants, asked subversive questions during press conferences, and succeeded in winning supporters for this idea. And in his famous speech in October 1963, Cardinal Sean from Mechelen observed that women make up half of the mankind and therefore should be invited as auditors. The idea of female lay auditors thus gained more and more plausibility. In 1964, women were welcomed by the Pope at the opening of the third session. It was not until a week later that the respective letters of nomination were written, and a few days later the first female auditors arrived in St. Peter's.
What role did the Catholic women, the Catholic women's groups and the female religious orders play in the council?
The World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations was the first organization to write a consular petition, and it became a model to several women's organizations who also launched petitions and thus made the concerns and wishes of women visible within the council's contexts and networks. And during the council, Catholic women traveled to Rome to talk to the bishops, to meet non-Catholic observers, or to participate in the masses that were celebrated in St. Peter's in the morning. And indeed, several bishops intentionally consulted these women. In the end, women also participated in the subcommissions for the various chapters of Codimus Bees, and they thus helped to shape the text. Female religious were among the lay auditors and contributed to the decree Perfecti Caritatis on religious life.
And that was author and church historian Regina Haider speaking there to Gudrun Saylor. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and on other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Join us again tomorrow at the same time for more news. Meanwhile, thanks to Patrizio Ciprari in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.